Well, first of all, thank you very much for that very warm welcome and for the privilege that I have this morning of coming and sharing with you, not only from God's precious word, but also surrounding the work of the Gideons in the International, both in the British Isles and in the world at large. The passage of scripture that we read would be familiar to many of us. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And what captures me, my thoughts on this passage of scripture this morning is the vast vision that there is in that text. We read, when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd. The message of the gospel and the ministry of the Gideons is essentially spiritual, but intensely practical, because it both the gospel and the ministry of the Gideons deals with people. And that's what the gospel's all about. The gospel is about people. Reaching out to men and women and boys and girls that they may have that opportunity to respond to the good news of salvation, the offer of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this occasion, Jesus comes down and he sees a vast multitude, a great crowd of people, and he sees them without as sheep without a shepherd. And as we look at this town in which you live in Kilkeel, and we see vast numbers of people. We look at the British Isles and it's 63 million of population. And we look at the world at large of 7.1 billion people living in this world in which we live. And my mind goes back to what the writer to the Proverbs say in Proverbs 28, 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people begin to disintegrate, is another translation of perish. They begin to disintegrate. And the Lord looks out on that scene of people on that day. And he looked up and he saw a great crowd. And in that crowd, he saw the need of the crowd. They were a needy people. Many of their needs were different. But all of them could be met with the glorious facts of the gospel of redeeming grace. And then, having seen the vision, having seen the need, the Lord asks a question of Philip. And the question is simply this: where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He saw that they needed sustaining. They needed something in life. And the vision of the Gideon ministry. And the Gideon, so each one of us, as we see the vision of the need, is the vast multitudes that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Over the last year, the Gideons worldwide distributed over 87 million copies of God's precious word throughout the world, ministering in 202 countries. This year, we will be privileged to place the 2 billionth copy of the scripture since the work began in 1898. That is the world vision. That is our world ministry. But bring it down to our national ministry. Our goal, our aim, our desire through the coming years is that we will be privileged to distribute year on year 1 million copies of God's precious word. Where are we today? Well, up to date, we're distributing something like 900,000 copies of the scriptures. Ozzy has shared with you the ministry within the schools in this particular region. Throughout the British Isles, we distribute on average year on year 500,000 copies of God's word to young people. Those little red youth testaments in schools, in colleges and in universities. Over the years, over 42 million copies since the word, since the Gideon ministry started in this country in 1949. Here is the vision of the need. 64 million people in the British Isles, all needing, many of them, to hear the good news of redeeming grace. And here was the question that the Lord asked Philip. Where shall we buy bread that each one of these people, that we might feed them, that we may satisfy their hunger, so that there is the vision of the need? The 64 million, the numbers that live in this area in which you live, having a need, having a desire, having a want, many of them, to hear the good news of redeeming grace. Why do we distribute the word of God? Because we believe that the word of God has the power within itself to transform the human heart, to reach down into the crevices of the human heart and to actually meet the longing desire and the need that is in each man and woman, each boy and girl. So the question, where shall we buy bread? What was the response? Well, the response from Philip was 8 months' wages could not buy enough bread for these people to eat. You see, Philip's response, like mine and like yours, is one of resource. One of resource. He saw that they had limited resources. Their resources were limited. They were insufficient. They were inadequate to meet the need of the crowd on that day. And we as Gideons thank you as God's people. Many of you have friends who support us in prayer and in financial giving, for the resource that you give, for the prayers that you undertake on the behalf of this ministry as we go out into the schools and into the colleges and the universities, as we place God's word in hotels and in hospitals and in retirement homes. To have that relationship and bring men and women to that relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the placing of God's precious word. Resource is important. Resource is vital. The resource of manpower, the resource of prayer, the resource of finance. All of these we as Gideons rely on. And here was Philip saying to the Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion, we long to meet the need. We long that the need of the crowd would be satisfied, but our resources are limited. See, sometimes as God's people and we as Gideons in our ministry, we so often operate on the material level when we should be operating on the spiritual level. The level where God can meet the need throughout the world. No matter what our resources may be, God is reaching out to men and women. Peace at last. Peace at last. Just 15 minutes. And then I'll have peace at last. You see, Andy was serving a life sentence in Leicester Prison. And he knew between 8:45 and 9:00, that wing in which Andy was serving his sentence in that prison cell would have no one on it. The shift would change, and for 15 minutes, there would be no prison officer on that corridor. And Andy said, "Peace at last." Why? Because Andy had made a noose from his bedding. And between 8:45 and 9:00, Andy was going to hang himself. Peace at last. He'd been serving his prison life sentence because of a drunken brawl. And in that brawl, he had killed somebody. And Andy now was looking for peace. And as the clock ticked by, Andy heard a voice within him. "Just read that little blue book. Just read that little blue book." You see, what had happened, the Gideons had visited that prison and they'd placed within each cell a little blue hospital testament. It was on Andy's shelf. He'd seen it but never picked it up. And Andy's response to that inner thoughts within his mind was this: "Why, what good would that do me?" But the voice kept speaking to him, "Just read that little book." And so Andy picked it up and he opened it. Now, I'm sure your minister would have a great direction of to Andy and say, "Here's where you start, Andy. Here's where you need to start to actually come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." But there was no minister in that cell. Just a blue book and Andy. And where did Andy start? Well, not where I'd have started. Not where I'd advised him to do. He started, as the song says, at the very beginning. Now, if you know your Bible, and I'm sure you do, the very beginning is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And how many of us, when we pick Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, skip over the length of the genealogies of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Andy began at verse 1. And he went down the whole of the chapter. Such a body gave birth to such a body. And then he landed on that verse that simply says this, verse 18, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ." And Andy said, for the first time in his life, "Wow, he's real. He's real." And he began on reading. He read through the Beatitudes and they read through the whole of Matthew's Gospel. And then he read through Mark's Gospel. And all the time, God was speaking to him through his own precious word. And then he came to Luke's Gospel and he read the parable, the story of the prodigal son. And Andy realized that in his hopelessness, in his need, that there was a Father in heaven who could forgive all his sin. And Andy, the next morning, having spoke to the chaplain in the prison, committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace at last. Not through death, Well, yes, through death. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andy coming to realize that he could have peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. Andy is still serving his prison sentence. He's now serving it in an open prison. He will be granted parole shortly and he will be released on license. But what is Andy doing? Andy's holding Bible studies in that prison. And he's telling others who are seeking and looking for peace about the Lord Jesus Christ. All because a Gideon placed a little blue hospital testament in a prison cell. A limited resource, but within it the power to transform the human heart. Where shall we find bread? Well, we've insufficient resources, Lord. And then in the crowd, there's another disciple. He's Andrew. Andrew. I love Andrew. He's always introducing people to Jesus. If you introduce Andrew and you read the scriptures, you always find him that he's always introduced as Simon Peter's brother, a nobody, as it were. Oh, well, Simon, he's just Simon. Andrew, he's just Simon Peter's brother. He's of no influence in the group of the 12. He's just Simon Peter's brother. But Andrew is always introducing people to Jesus. And that, as Gideon's, is our great desire through personal witness that we will introduce people to Jesus. And Andrew found in the crowd a young lad who had limited resources, but he brought him to Jesus and introduced him to Jesus. He cycled down the school path. A water ice cellar. He had written on the side of his cart, "Thank God, I am just in time." That was in Guyana in 2014, an international scripture blitz that I went on. And Hazram cycled down the school track. "Thank God, I am just in time. I seized the opportunity." I went over and spoke to him and I said, "Hazran," I didn't know he was called Hazran at that time because I hadn't seen him before. I said, "Can I ask you a question? I'm interested in what you've got on the side of your water ice cart. Thank God I am just in time." I said, "Well, I've come just in time, 5,000 miles from the United Kingdom to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask you one question. If you died now, where would you be sure that you would go to heaven?" And Hazran, being the Muslim that he was, said, "Well, no one can be sure. No one can be certain. However good a life you lead, you can't be certain that you're going to heaven." And I simply said this to him, "Well, I want to let you into a secret. You're looking at somebody who is certain that if they die today, they're going to heaven. Because I have received into my life the forgiveness of my sins and the certainty of an eternal life with the Saviour." I had the privilege of spending 20 minutes with Hazran, that Muslim man, and to lead him and to point him and to pray with him that God could forgive his sins. Hazran responded to the sharing of God's precious word and he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. do we make ourselves available for God? Do we seize the opportunity that are granted us day after day to share the ministry of God's precious word? Do we see them as sheep without a shepherd? Do we recognize them not just as individuals, but as immortal souls whose destiny is either heaven or hell? An urgency of ministering and placing the word of God. So we have Philip's dilemma, one of resource. We have the encouragement of Andrew of seizing the opportunity of the lad. But then what is the boy's response? It's one of availability. What did he have available? 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And he gave them to Jesus. He gave what he had to Jesus. And Jesus took what was insufficient, limited, and he fed a multitude. Where shall we buy bread that each one of them may eat? Let me take you back to what the Lord said before Philip answered the question. For he himself knew what he was about to do. You see, the Lord is the master of every situation. Placing a testament into the hand of a person in a checkout queue in Marks and Spencer and sharing with them a little of the Word of God is all that Christ asks us of Gideons to do. Because he himself knew what he was going to do. He knew that Andy would pick up that blue book and begin to read from Matthew's gospel and find the Saviour. He knew that Muslim who had written on his card, "Thank God I am just in time," would have a time of destiny when I would be able to meet with him and share with him the very good news of the gospel of Christ. All the Lord Jesus Christ asks of me and of you and of the ministry of the Gideons is that we make ourselves available to him. I wonder if you've responded to the gospel of redemption. That like Andy, the Lord Jesus Christ has become real to you. And you found peace at the foot of the cross. And having found peace with Christ, the challenge is the vision of the need to make ourselves available and to give him what we have to serve him for the advancement of his kingdom.